Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Artemis. No, I'm not referring to the Greek goddess of the moon, nor to Aramis, one of the three musketeers, but to the NASA orbiting the moon last April. Almost 60 years ago, when Apollo 8 orbited the moon, the three astronauts read Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They read on. Victor Grover, the pilot of Artemis 2, also spoke about the amazing gift of this blue marble that God created for us on earth and shared his faith in Jesus. Some people would say of those confessions that, well, those were small things compared to what man accomplished. Our text confronts any such attitude. For who has despised the day of small things? Is it an accusation? Or a promise? Or a challenge? Well, it certainly is an accusation, isn't it? Coming to church, studying our Bible, being fervent in prayer, we too easily may think about those as small things compared to athletic and musical events, hanging out with our friends, the thrills that we may experience in life in this world, or even the work that we need to get done. And how often doesn't it even seem that those spiritual things aren't really accomplishing anything anyway? So we skip them. Or we go through the motions. That is despising the day of small things. Titus 2 tells us that when the grace of God is dwelling in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will lead us to say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. And yet those lusts can enter our hearts, can't they? And what about ungodly? You know, when somebody ridicules us, how often do we want to zing them back even harder? Or when somebody rebukes us, how often do we want to zap them? So why doesn't the Holy Spirit lead us in an uninterrupted march of triumph over sin in our own lives? Why is it that we find ourselves lurching and staggering with little spiritual forward progress? And then we seem to make some spiritual progress. And what do we often do? Look at what my commitment has accomplished, what I have done. Yeah, how often are we more concerned about glorifying me than about glorifying Jesus over all? So both in our falling down and in our lifting ourselves up, it often happens because we are despising the day of small things. At the time of our text, the obstacles to building the temple that God had commanded seemed overwhelming. Their leaders failing, the criticisms unflagging, and the excuses abounding. It can happen today. So that we think, hey, God isn't with us. So we can't do anything. Or we may think, hey, I can't do anything really important, so why do anything? Or we may even conclude, you know, what God wants isn't really desirable or even possible. So we turn instead to the big things of the world and do what is right in our own eyes. Yeah. It is a valid accusation against mankind. How often is it valid against you and me? that we have despised the day of small things. And yet with this accusation, God is not abandoning us. He is graciously calling us back. Who has despised the day of small things? It is also a promise, isn't it? This question was preceded by a startling description of a 7-branch lampstand. Now, we don't want to have one here. We don't even have a candle stand here. But the candle stands on the altars in our churches do present the same point that God was making here. That the Holy Spirit shines with the light of Christ through his word in order to provide you with the oil of faith so that you might be his light in the world. Thus, in Revelation, each congregation is represented by a lampstand. In his parable, Jesus warns, lest we become the 5 foolish virgins who ran out of oil for their lamps. It's only with treasuring the day of small things, the Holy Spirit wants to work in your heart through his word and sacraments, that we are able to let that light of Christ shine through us. And is there a further promise here? Think about despising the day of small things. From being born in a manger to washing his disciples' feet the very night of ignominy, Jesus never despised the day of small things. He spoke an absolute no to every temptation of Satan to glorify himself, an unbroken yes to the will of his Father. And he thus fulfilled all righteousness for you and me. He came to his own, and yet his own did not receive him. The very night he sacrificed his life for the sins of the world, the 12 closest to him betrayed and deserted him. And how often have we? And yet, he still went on to the cross. He spoke that loving yes to carry out the Father's will in sacrificing himself for your sins and mine. He said yes to the love that prayed, Father, forgive them. Namely, every one of us whose sins nailed him to that cursed tree. Every small step of Jesus' perfect yes is never to be despised. For who has despised the day of small things is also then a challenge. The Holy Spirit is calling us to the riven side of Jesus, to live in his light, forgiving as we have been forgiven. Not giving in to that thinking, well, I can't do anything really important, so why do anything? But serving as we have been served. Unfortunately, too often the accusation is true. We have despised the day of small things. But despite our failures, this chapter is unfolding God's promise. Listen to verse 10. My eyes are searching the whole earth to look with favor and blessing on those who are striving to live. Each small, yeah, embattled, but spirit-powered day to say yes to Jesus. And our Father never despises the day of small things done for Jesus. One kind word, one helping hand, one word of praise. And the Father promises here an abundant supply of his Spirit through his word so that you may daily turn back from despising the day of small things to cling to Jesus' perfect yes lived for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 226, 226, stanzas 1 and 8.